Recently, I was sent a message to inform me of a gospel preacher that we both know that had come down with the COVID-19. I wrote back, "The virus is not a respecter of persons." That's true, isn't it? It's affected all ages and all races of people around the globe. This put me to thinking about the topic, not a respecter of persons. It occurred to me that there are lots and lots of things and people who are not a respecter of persons. And I'd like to explore that with you this afternoon. I begin by calling attention to the fact that God is not a respecter of persons. There's a popular doctrine that is widely believed, known as unconditional election. It's one of the tenets of Calvinism, as expressed in the acronym or acrostic TULIP. The T stands for total hereditary depravity. U, unconditional election. L, limited atonement. I, irresistible grace. And P, perseverance of the saints. And just about every denomination holds to some, if not all, forms of Calvinism. The doctrine of unconditional election would have us to think that God chose the individual to be lost or to be saved without involving his or her choice in the matter. And so if God chose you to be lost, then you're condemned and there's nothing you can do about it to change from being lost to being saved. And if God chose you to be saved, then there's nothing you can do so as to be lost. That doctrine makes God a respecter of persons. If God would choose me to be saved and you to be lost without our choice, then God is partial. But if we can show from the Bible that God is not a respecter of persons, that God is indeed impartial, then we will have proven this doctrine of Calvinism to be false. There are a number of passages and principles that emphasize God is not a respecter of persons. In the sermon that Paul preached at Athens in Acts 17, he announced in verses 25 and 26 that God giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. The fact that God giveth to all life and hath made of one blood all nations tells me God is impartial. Also, the fact that as Jesus announced in the great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and verse 45, that he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust, tells me that God is not a respecter of persons. His love is impartial. In John 3:16, the golden text of the Bible, the greatest statement ever made, Jesus said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he reminded the young evangelist that God will have all men to be saved. You might underscore the word all. And to come under the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. It is written in the book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? All men. That shows God is impartial. In 2 Peter 3 and in verse 18, I read, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's 2 Peter 3 and in verse 9. But also, in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 14 and verse 14, the woman of Tekoa said, "Neither doth God respect any person." In 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 7, when Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, set judges in the land, notice what he said to the judges. "There is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor," nor what? "Respect of persons." The sermon that was read from Acts 10, 34 through 43, that Peter preached to the Gentiles, affirms that God is not a respecter of persons. Remember how that went? When Peter said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." In Romans 2 and 11, Paul penned, "For there is no respect of persons with God." And giving instruction concerning masters in Ephesians 6:9, Paul declared, "Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." And so that helps us appreciate God is not a respecter of persons. If I tell you someone else who's not a respecter of persons, Christ is not. His coming shows that he is impartial. In Luke 19:10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. His teachings are directed to whosoever. Notice a sampling of that in Matthew, the 5th chapter. When in verse 19 he said, "Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so." Then in verse 21, "Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Verse 22, "Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger." Verse 28, "Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Verse 31, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement, it hath been said." Verse 32, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." Verse 39, "That ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." Verse 41, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." And then at the end of the sermon in chapter 7, verse 24, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." The fact that the Lord's teachings are directed to whosoever tells me that the Lord is not a respecter of persons. His invitation shows that he's impartial and that he's invited all to come, right? Matthew 11 and in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And as the final invitation in the final book affirms in Revelation 22 and in verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." His death shows that he's not a respecter of persons. As Paul said, he died for all, 2 Corinthians 5:15. And the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 2 and verse 9 said that Christ tasted death for who? Every man. Those words, "every man," show that Christ is not a respecter of persons. If he died for you but not me, then that make him partial. But also, he is the propitiation, John said, for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2 and in verse 2. That defeats the notion of limited atonement. The fact that he is the propitiation for the whole world, not just a select few. But also, when you think about not a respecter of persons, the Holy Spirit certainly is not. The Bible teaches in the list of ones in Ephesians 4, verse 4, there is one Spirit. And as we called attention to this morning, he is the agent of divine revelation. Paul said, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by who? The Spirit. The fact that this revelation is by the Spirit, and there's one Spirit, and the revelation is the gospel, and the gospel is for all, tells me the Holy Spirit is not a respecter of persons. Jesus commissioned the apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:15. But I got to thinking about some others who are not a respecter of persons. God is not, Christ is not, the Holy Spirit is not, the devil is not. He appeared in the garden to the first man and woman in Genesis 3:1 through 6. In the book of Job, one of the oldest books in the Bible, among the patriarchs, he came, the Bible says, also among them in Job 1:6 and chapter 2 and verse 1, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan came also among them. In 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1, he provoked King David. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 3 and verse 1, Zechariah saw Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. And guess what else? Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. That shows the devil is not a respecter of persons. When you come to the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, he tempted the Lord himself. When Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, Matthew 4 and verse 1, he worked at the very best of people. And the parable of the sower in Mark's account in chapter 4 and verse 15 shows that when the seed is sown, the devil comes. There's that expression, then cometh the devil. And so don't think that you're immune or you're exempt from the devil's work. In Luke 22 and verse 3, as well as John 13 and verse 27, there's a statement made how that he entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot. Remember Judas, the one who betrayed the Lord? We read about that in the observance of the Lord's Supper this morning, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the betrayer came. And Jesus said, "Friend, why or wherefore art thou come?" In Luke 22 and verse 31, Jesus told Simon Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." In Acts 5, we talked about Ananias and Sapphira this morning in Bible study. How that one of the problems the church faced in the first century was that of lying Christians. Did you know the devil's involved in that? As he filled Ananias' heart, Acts 5:3. He hindered the apostles. That's one of his tactics, is that of hindrance. In 1 Thessalonians 2, in verse 18, Paul said, "We would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." In the book of Revelation 12, in verse 9, the devil is regarded as he that deceiveth the whole world. So he's not a respecter of persons. You can clearly see from all the people he's had influence upon down through the ages. And thus, we need to give serious heed to the admonitions that follow, like, don't give place to him. Ephesians 4 and verse 27. Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, 11. Resist him. James 4, 7. Be sober. Be vigilant. 1 Peter 5, 8. Remember the rest of that? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But also, when you think about not a respecter of persons, temptation is not. Temptation is not a respecter of persons, for temptation is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Paul said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Don't think you've gone through something or you've experienced something that nobody else has with reference to temptation. It's common to man. But also, it's not a respecter of persons because every man is tempted. Remember in the book of James, chapter 1, when he talked about temptation? He said in verse 14, "But every man is tempted." When? When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Temptation is common in that we're tempted through the same avenues. Every man is tempted through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, as John described in 1 John 2 and verse 16. Since temptation is not a respecter of persons, then I need to read and believe and obey Galatians 6, 1. When Paul said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering who? Thyself. Why? Lest thou also be tempted." So he said, not me. I wouldn't be tempted. Not so fast. It's not a respecter of persons. But also, sin is not a respecter of persons. Just like this virus, not a respecter of persons, affects all people. So does sin. In fact, Romans 3:9 says all under sin, as does Galatians 3, and then verse 22, where Paul said, the scripture hath concluded all under sin. That makes for a good study, scriptural conclusions. Some people draw conclusions or reach conclusions that aren't scriptural conclusions. But when the scripture concludes a thing, that's an inspired conclusion, as all scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. And you could make a list of scriptural conclusions. One of those is the scripture has concluded all under sin. In Romans 3:23, Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In chapter 5 and verse 12, he said, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When I read those words, all have sinned, that tells me sin is not a respecter of persons. There's only one exception to the principle. All under sin, all have sinned. And that's Christ, who the Hebrew writer said was without sin, Hebrews 4:15. And he said, and Peter did in 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. So sin is not a respecter of persons. But also, death is not a respecter of persons. That ought to be pointed out when a funeral is preached, that death is not a respecter of persons. The obituaries and memorial stones in the cemeteries, all a reminder of the fact that death is not a respecter of persons. If you spend some time in the cemetery and you look at the headstones and you read the dates, you'll find all ages of people who have died. Same in the obituaries. Read the obituaries in the newspaper. Listen to them on the radio. All ages of people. Death is not a respecter of persons. The Bible talks about the common death of all men in Numbers 16 and verse 29. Solomon said, the living know that they shall die. Living die. And so it's not a respecter of persons. Ecclesiastes 9:5. We saw in Romans 5:12, where the apostle said, death passed upon all. You're not an exception to that unless you're alive when the Lord comes. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, Paul said, as in Adam, all die. All. And Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. We have an appointment with death. And so it's not a respecter of persons. It's coming. And we need to get ready for it. But also, when you make your list of things of which it could be said, not in respect of persons, the judgment won't be. For in the judgment scene of Matthew 25, remember Jesus is represented as the great shepherd dividing the sheep from the goats. And the Bible says in Matthew 25:32, before him shall be gathered who? All nations. The fact that all nations will be there shows the judgment won't be a respecter of persons. Romans 14:12, Paul said, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You'll give account, I'll give account. No exceptions to that. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it is said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Remember the conclusion of the whole matter, Ecclesiastes 12? Fear God and keep his commandments. Why? For God shall bring every work into judgment. Every work. With every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so the fact that God shall bring every work into judgment tells me the judgment won't be partial. The judgment is not a respecter of persons. It won't care what you've done, good or bad. every work. In Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, John saw the dead, small and great. Somewhere in there he saw you and me, didn't he? Small and great, stand before God. And they were judged, he said, every man according to their works. There's no escaping the judgment. You know, there's some things that are inescapable, like death and the judgment. No getting around the judgment. Colossians 3:25 teaches, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. You know, oftentimes with judgment, the judgment of man, maybe the judge is partial. The judgment isn't just. Respect of persons is shown. Maybe somebody gets to the judge and influences thinking, but not the great judge of all the earth. 1 Peter 1:17 says, the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. There'd be no partiality or prejudice shown at the judgment. And so there's eight things that you could think about, and you might think of others that you could add to this list, of which it could be said, not a respect for persons, not God, not the Lord Jesus Christ, not the Holy Spirit. The devil isn't. He's worked at all people, the best of people, and he'll work at us. Temptation is not. You're not immune to it. You're not exempt from it. Sin is not. Death is not. The judgment won't be. And I suggest to you that neither should we be. You know, sometimes there are people who show respect to persons. Maybe respect toward the rich, toward the wealthy, toward the prominent. The law had some ordinances about that, like Leviticus 19:15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. It's a good principle, isn't it? Deuteronomy 1:17. Listen to these words. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Deuteronomy 16:19, simply put, thou shalt not respect persons. And then, who can overlook the teaching of James? In James 2, 1 through 9, it's really about being impartial as a brother, as a sister. Listen to these words. James 2, beginning verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called? If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And so as you think about these, not a respect of persons, neither should we be. And then, don't overlook the fact that one plan of salvation for all shows not a respect of persons. God has the same plan of salvation for you as he does me and everybody else. Americans and aliens. Whether you're in a European place or South America, Australia, doesn't make any difference. Same plan of salvation. And it's right before your eyes in the book. Hearing the words, Lord's word, that's how faith is produced. That's the way it works for everybody. Not a respecter of persons. It's not that it comes to you somehow different. that it's zapped into your heart mysteriously, but somebody else has to read the Bible to get it. It comes by hearing the word of the Lord. And it's true that we must believe. John 8:24, repent. That's command of all men everywhere. Not a respecter of persons. Same plan. Confession. Same confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Baptism. What the Lord expected in the first century, that's what he expects today. In this century, and everyone that will be beyond this one, as long as the world shall stand. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That statement will stand as long as the earth remains. And then to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. It's not that you don't have to be faithful, but everybody else does. Or you have to, nobody else does. That's true of everybody. Be thou. Thou is you and me and everybody else. And I'll give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. And he has one plan for all of his children that go astray. He doesn't expect you to do something he doesn't expect somebody else to do. What he told Simon in Acts 8 is what he would call upon you to do if you find yourself in a place where your heart's not right with God. He said, repent and pray. And the words of 1 John 1:9 apply to all Christians. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I hope this little lesson this afternoon, not a respecter of persons, will help us appreciate some simple truths that the Bible reveals that we need to be familiar with, that we can make some personal application to our lives. And if you're not a child of God, why not become one today? If you've obeyed the gospel, but you're not what you need to be, we're going to sing a song. He is able to deliver thee. He's delivered a lot of people. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. He delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He delivered Paul from all of the afflictions and persecutions that he experienced. And he can deliver you this afternoon as we stand and sing. We cordially invite you to come.